Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1867, Lawson's Produce LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a mulch facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.20 acres, more or less, lying east of Route 5, south of the railroad, and 1,700 feet south of Route 9. For the benefit of the commission, I passed down copies of the survey and site plan. The survey shows the adjoining produce market that's existed for many years, and the silos, et cetera, and the mulch storage facility is an expansion of that facility. Gentlemen, we also have received several agency comments. On February 5th of 2010, we received the comments from DLDOT, and those comments referenced that a traffic impact study was not recommended at the level of service E of Seashore Highway, being Route 9, will not change as a result of this application, and at the level of service C of Indian Mission Road, also referred to as Route 5, will not change as a result of this application. On October 26th of 2010, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments that referenced that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that the use of an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. Also on October 26th of 2010, the Sussex Conservation District provided comments that referenced that the site contains two soil types, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that the proposed project will not necessitate any off-site drainage improvements, and that it is not likely that the proposed project will necessitate any on-site drainage improvements. Gentlemen, for the record also, prior to the submittal of this application, I had received a letter from Ed Key, Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, referencing that it was his opinion that the mulching facility was an agricultural use. I then copied Mr. Robertson for an opinion, and we had agreed that a conditional use should be required based on past practices of the commission and the council on several, if not multiple, mulching operations, different locations throughout the county. So that's why we're here this evening. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, gentlemen, if you'll introduce yourselves.
Clifford Lawson.
Okay, and you're the applicant?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, outstanding. And the bodyguard that you brought with us?
Well, he's got multiple titles, father, landlord, and supervisor of operations.
I think you hit the biggest one first, the first one you said.
So. Yes, sir.
All right. You're welcome to speak at any time you want to. When you do, you'll have to tell the microphone your name, because that tape machine can't see you.
Thank you.
Isn't that funny? Probably haven't used tape for 15 years. Anyway,
my name is Robert Lawson.
You heard what our director had to say about your application. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, yes, sir. I'd like to give you an operation and a little bit of overview of our daily procedures and our family business.
Okay.
Lawson Produce has been in operation since 1999 and has grown to its current size. Lawson Produce operates on an annual lease with the current landowners, under the direction of myself, Clifford Lawson, and Supervisor Robert Lawson. The operation currently employs 3 to 4 workers. The current mulch operation receives chips, processed, pre-chipped tree materials from several local tree service companies. These materials are collected free of charge and provide a natural alternative to dumping them in local landfills. Tree chips are stockpiled until they are needed for the mulching process. During the mulching process, tree chips are run through a mulch grinder and reground into landscape quality mulch. The following mulch materials are produced: color enhanced brown, color enhanced red, color enhanced black, and natural mulch. Material safety data sheets are available on all the materials. Tree chips are constantly, daily being processed, and as a result, the chip stockpile never accumulates or becomes oversized. We consider ourselves a wood chip recycling facility, whereby we receive tree chips from companies who in the past would have dumped these natural materials in the landfills or paid to have dumping fees at various locations. We do not compost materials on the property, and we do not accept stumps. These facilities are adjacent to the family farm, which has been in operation for more than 60 years. Ingress and egress to the facility will not have to be altered. The entrance is 90 feet wide and was installed by the Delaware Department of Transportation. It serves as the current entrance to the farm operation, which utilizes several types of farm equipment. The farm facility provides plenty of off-street parking. We estimate 15 to 20 vehicles per day, and vehicle pattern has been highlighted on the surveyed site plans. Water is provided by an agriculture well, and septic is not required. In conclusion, we as an agriculture-related industry believe this mulch operation complies with the county's conditional use definition. Furthermore, this operation is within the county's agriculture zoning regulations and the spirit of the rule, which, to provide for a full range of agriculture activities and to protect agriculture lands, as one of the county's most valuable natural resources. We have received a letter from Mr. Ed Key saying that the mulch operation does fit under an agriculture commodity. Moreover, the mulch operation has genesis from a family farm and roadside produce stand, provides a family opportunity in an already difficult profession. This operation employs 3 to 4 staff, contributes to the local economy, and gives back to the community through volunteer work and donations. We respectfully submit this application for conditional use and ask that it be granted. We appreciate your consideration.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, it appears as though we don't have access to the information you want to bring with you tonight due to our 10-day rule for receipt of those exhibits. But given that, I might have a few more questions.
I should point out for the benefit of you folks and anybody that's here tonight, that information can be supplied to County Council. The Planning and Zoning Commission makes a recommendation to County Council, and they have the final say at the public hearing, which is, Lawrence, do you know when Council gets it?
November
16th. November 16th.
Okay. Thanks.
And they can submit them to me, and I can have them in the record.
Yeah, and that's what I mentioned to Mr. Lawson.
Yeah, for the Council. Just so I can get your notes that way. I couldn't keep up with Cliff.
Presently, are you presently in operation now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when I ride by your shop, the mulch that I see out there is the mulch that you're generating from the wood chips?
Yes, sir.
Is there any type of machinery that's involved?
We have a grinder, yes.
And is the grinder outside or inside?
Outside.
And in addition to the grinder, I heard you talk about different colors. So you must have some kind of equipment to color the mulch as well?
It's all in one unit. It grinds and colors as it processes it. Okay. One pass.
One pass.
Mm-hmm.
And are you here because you were cited for being in violation, or is this a voluntary application?
I'm not aware of any violations. We were under the impression that we needed a conditional use because we weren't sure if the mulch was under agriculture.
I don't think they were actually cited with a violation. They were advised that we had a concern about the operation based on complaints and suggested they apply for a conditional use.
That does happen all the time. Oftentimes folks applying for a conditional use are here because of a citation or in this case, a recommendation. With the type of equipment that you use with a grinder, when is that grinder used? What kind of hours and days?
Our summer hours are 9 to 6. Right now we're 9 to 4. We do not grind in dark. Just basically 8 to 4 job.
But it's operating in that span of time. It's
so four days during a busy season. Can you add in?
Bob Lawson, the grinder hasn't been run now in probably 2 weeks. And so it's sporadic. It depends on the supply and demand.
That's what I was leading up to. Is this something that you're grinding 8 hours a day, or
no.
Or it's as a demand?
No, no matter. It's just as the demand. When we get low on product, we grind. In summertime, spring particularly, we're grinding quite often. But this time of the year. Like I said, it hadn't been run in 2 weeks. Matter of fact, it's broke.
So it might not be running for a while. Mm.
Yes, it'll be fixed, though, yeah. Soon. Got to be.
And the mulch that you sell is just sold on site. You're not bagging it and selling it wholesale. You're just talking basically retail?
We do retail wholesale, but it's not bagged.
What do you mean retail's wholesale?
If landscaper, for example, will get wholesale prices.
Right.
John Doe homeowner will get retail prices.
But you're not selling to other farm markets that then sell it as loose mulch?
Yes, we are.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So not only are you selling it to the landscapers that use it in their business, you're selling it to other folks who turn around and then sell it for retail. Okay.
Can I expand upon that? You don't bag anything?
No, sir. We do not bag it.
You sell bulk.
It's all loose.
Okay.
All bulk loose.
And what kind of traffic is this business generating in terms of trucks and types of trucks?
We figured 15 to 20 trucks in the springtime on average.
Daily.
And most of those, I don't like using the word truck, it's pickups or small landscape trailers coming in there.
So we're not talking about the big six-wheelers? And
very rare. Maybe one out of 20 at the most.
And in location, with the equipment, about how far would you estimate your grinder is from any nearby houses other than your landlord's house?
150, 250 feet.
That depends on the color, because we move it. It's mobile.
The grinder is mobile.
Mobile grinder. And so it could be in the back of the grinding area. It could be up to the front, depending on the color that we're running that particular time. That does. So we do move it. It's not a permanent position.
So you're not accepting stumps. What about construction waste?
No, sir.
So we're not talking about any 2x4s being ground up or any pallets or any of that stuff?
Our grinder is a small unit, and it will only handle pre-ground material. So chips.
So you're regrinding chips. You're not taking in large branches?
No, sir.
Okay, so you're just your equipment just refines it.
That's it.
Okay.
Sizes it to salable size.
And I'm hearing you're running hours of 9 to 6 during the summer and 9 to 4 in off season. Or are we just talking about light and dark?
It's really 8 to 4.
8 to 4.
Yeah. Basically. Now, when we get, in a full day, if we're really low, we may go to 6.
So it might be safer to say daylight hours.
Yeah. It's not run that.
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. Daylight hours, but it's not consecutive all the time either.
Because we're not just talking about. Are we talking about the sale of mulch, or are we just talking about your processing today? Because our application is a mulch facility.
Right. The mulch facility is shown to be an expansion of the existing produce market to. Show that it's accessory use.
Now that the IR, what are your produce hours?
9 to 6.
9 to 6. Okay.
Okay. Right. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Richard, thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the mulch generate any heat? And if so, is there any danger of some type of combustion or fire?
We've seen the most heat out of our stockpile. We'll call after wintering. Especially last year after snow, it held the heat in pretty well. We do turn our piles so that we don't want a rotten product. So when heat is generated, it's composting. We don't want compost. We want mulch.
Mm-hmm. So, how far is the proposed facility from the nearest fire department that would respond if you were to have a fire?
Who is your?
I think we're really melting. It's approximately 5 miles.
So five to 10 minutes, yeah. I suppose.
And we've had this mulch, I don't know how many years now, several, and never had any fire or any problems with fire.
Mm-hmm. We certainly wouldn't want any. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ross? Does it attract, I mean, termites, bugs of that nature? Do you have to be careful?
That's the million-dollar question of a homeowner. No. Our research has shown that termites want a solid material, and they don't want a loose ground, pre-ground material. So if we ever encounter a termite, it would have to already be in the wood that was pre-chipped. And once that happens, more than likely they are going to find somewhere else.
You say you're not composting, so you're not going to be using any animal ag waste or any municipal waste to do that?
No, sir. We don't accept yard waste.
Okay. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I didn't know termites were so picky.
I didn't either. No, I watch them in my woodshed.
You sit here long enough, you'll learn something.
Do you have a wooden leg, Mr. Chairman?
Beg your pardon?
Do you have a wooden leg?
No, okay. Unfortunately. Okay, Mr. Lank.
I think all my questions have been answered. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions.
All right, gentlemen, you take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. For anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1867, Lawson's Produce, LLC. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1867? Yes, sir. Come right up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is David Chikoski. I'm the residential property owner of the land sitting next to Mr. Lawson's business operations.
Okay.
And in front of where the land that he's leasing to conduct these operations. I'd like to submit these photos. Just so you have an idea of what we're talking about here, previous conditions and also the equipment that we're talking about. The picture of the equipment there is actually from my yard, so the proximity of that equipment running is literally a stone. I could spit on that piece of equipment. It's that close to my property line. And I'd like to preface what I had to say this evening by saying that I have no personal problems with Mr. Lawson. He's a gentleman, he's a fine person, and an upstanding member of the community. However, having said that, this mulching operation has been going on now for over 2 years without permits, and in my opinion, with a bit of disregard for the residents living in the immediate vicinity. These are the concerns that I have with the continued use of this land for mulch and soil storage and sales, and the restrictions that I would like to see imposed on Mr. Lawson for a conditional use permit to address these concerns. As a consideration for the residents living in the immediate vicinity and the stench that emanates from these piles of wood chips and mushroom soil, that the permissible area that these operations take place not exceed the land sitting directly behind Mr. Lawson's property. In other words, from the rear north property marker of my property heading eastward be established as the line of demarcation, where anything south of that marker is forbidden from such usage as mulch and soil storage. And that way the citizens of this community can open our windows and not have our quality of life adversely impacted by Mr. Lawson's business aspirations when the wind is blowing from the east. Secondly, I don't know, you talked a little bit about spontaneous combustion, but that is constitute a serious fire hazard with these piles. And as the temperature rises, the speed of temperature increase also rises with this phenomena. Heat is generated faster because the reaction rate approximately doubles with each 10-degree rise in temperature. And the probability of spontaneous combustion increases with large, well-insulated piles like the ones Mr. Lawson currently has sitting on this property. Now, he stated that he turns these piles, but the size of those piles, it is impossible to turn those piles from the top to the bottom and to spread them. I mean, they're literally as tall as this room, and in some instances taller. So there's no way that you can possibly turn that pile. I mean, you can see from those pictures there. So as a consideration for the potential of this material to spontaneously combust and to create a serious catastrophic fire, I would ask that the size of this operation be reduced by 2/3 and that the volume of the wood chip storage be permit limited to that volume. And I'd like to see the practice of this area being used as a free dumping ground for all the local tree trimmers to come to an end. And I would like it to make it such that no chip be permitted to be dumped here until the size of the current pile was reduced by 2/3 in those pictures. And then access from that point forward be gate controlled to maintain the maximum volume of wood chip permissible at any time. Now, he stated that this operation runs from 9 to 4. And I can tell you here, under oath, that I have been awakened at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday by his employee, Keith, running that that dyeing equipment on Saturday morning at prior to 8 o'clock. And that's the honest to God's truth. Thirdly, as a consideration for the excessive noise that is emitted from this equipment during this wood chip dyeing process, which involves the tractor, the dyeing equipment, as well as another tractor to feed the hopper, that these operations be permit restricted to 50 feet away from the aforementioned rear north property marker of my property. And I'd like to just to stop the current practice of running this equipment right on the property line at the rear of my property from this day forward and restrict all future activity to 50 feet heading eastward from that property mark. Fourth, as a consideration for the noise and the aforementioned fire hazard that this operation creates, that as a condition of this permit, Mr. Lawson be required to have professionally installed and pay for all costs associated a 6-foot high white PVC privacy fence across the rear of my property and across the, my neighbor would like one across the rear of her property, but she isn't here, unfortunately. And that this fence, if it were on my property, would become my responsibility to maintain. Finally, as a consideration for the sanity of the residents living in the immediate vicinity, that the wood chip dyeing operations be permit restricted to the hours between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekends and holidays. That way we can avoid being rudely awakened from this business activity, and if we choose to entertain family and friends outside for dinner, we can have a peaceful time without the excessive noise generated from this operation. One other concern that I don't have here is the chemical composition of the dye that's being used to dye these wood chips. There's several containers, red, brown, black, and there's puddles of this material that are always present during this operation and that sit there for weeks, months. I would like some assurance from the Department of Environmental Protection that this material is not adversely affecting our well water in the vicinity. I would assume that it's not. Mr. Lawson has a well as well. I'm hoping that's not a legitimate concern, but it's something that I would like to hear addressed in some way, shape, or form. And I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for listening to me this evening and for your consideration in addressing these concerns. I would ask that you try to envision yourself sitting in my backyard with friends and family when you take these concerns into consideration and ask yourself what you would want as conditions for a permit being granted to someone wishing to run an operation like this behind your residence.
Would you like to leave your comments in for the record?
I'm sorry, I'm slightly hearing impaired.
Would you like to leave your comments for the record?
Yes, I would.
So I don't miss anything? Can I ask you?
What you have in your hand, yeah. Would you leave your printed copy with?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Good. There you go.
Could I ask you a question? You made reference to 9 a.m. Thank you. You made reference to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then you said weekends and holidays. Are you talking about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays with no operation on weekends and holidays?
Well, ideally, yes. I mean, it would be not. I mean, at least for the, as far as the dyeing aspect of it. I mean, you know, the front end loader is going to load these chips, you know, whenever he's open and selling them. But the noise that I receive in my residence is from the tractor with the power takeoff running the dyeing machine, and then you have the added tractor with the front end loader loading this hopper to dye this equipment. So, you know, I would just like a little consideration as a resident to, you know, to not be rudely awakened by that. And, you know, again, if we're having dinner outside, to not have to listen to that, you know, while I'm having dinner.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
What kind of odors and dust or dirt do you experience from their operation?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with just wood degradation, but there's certainly a stench that comes from it, and also from the stench of mushroom soil, which we, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the composition of that. The stench of that is not very pleasant as well. In fact, methane gas comes off of that, and I've had, in fact, a prior incident. I actually asked Mr. Lawson if he had a gas cylinder that was leaking because I thought because I smelled the gas, and it wasn't the gas cylinder, it was literally coming from the pile of mulch, or from soil.
But the mushroom soil is something separate from what we're discussing today. I meant from the mulch operation.
Yes, there's a stench that emanates from that wood, yes, absolutely.
And what about from the chemicals?
The chemical? I don't notice the smell of the dye. Again, the concern is just the chemical composition and the fact that it is soaking into the groundwater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? All right, sir, we thank you.
Thank you.
For anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to change or conditional use number 1867? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Just one thing to add. I want to explain something Lawrence said. The Secretary of Agriculture had sent that letter stating that the use was agricultural. Lawrence and I looked at it, and you could say that sort of in a general sense, it appears that way. But what we looked at is whether it was a permitted use under the AR1 zoning. And it's not specifically a permitted use for mulching. So that's why they went the conditional use route, because it actually falls under the sort of the catch-all of agricultural-related industry. And I wanted to point that out just in light of some of the testimony we heard, because it talks about sort of an additional condition that's in the ordinance. It talks about provided that such use is visually and acoustically screened from adjacent highways and property, so that it's not obvious that it's occurring from property lines of the roadway. So there's some basis for some of the conditions that I think the commission's talking about.
Okay. All right, then. We thank you.
I have a couple questions for the applicants, if I might.
Okay. We had asked the applicant, not you,
nope.
Sir.
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks.
Fine. Come back to see us for a moment.
State my name again.
Sure.
Clifford Lawson.
Bob Lawson.
My question is related to Mr. Chakowski. Is that close enough? Sorry if I butcher your name. One of the questions or concerns he raised was about the chemical composition of the dye and the impact that it might have on his well water. Can you add any light to that?
In the folder was the MSDS specs on the dye. It is 100% environmentally friendly. It has to be because it's been in use now for a long time, and it's colored enhanced mulch. It's not a paint pigment. It adheres to the wood. There's no health risk or environmental risk that goes along with it.
Well, if you have that in your exhibit booklet, is that something that you'd be willing to share with your neighbor? Just to alleviate help alleviate some of his concerns about the impact of those chemicals.
Besides, ingesting it directly from the containers, that's about the only risk it has.
Okay.
It's hard to get out of clothes.
And given the size of your property, which is here at 2.2 acres, would you be able to accommodate some of his requests in terms of giving some distance between your operation and his property line? I mean, I don't know if you're using up the whole 2.2 acres or if some of it can be relocated to perhaps provide him with some space and some additional privacy.
Bob Lawson, we have moved the material back away from his property line, and as he alluded to, the mushroom swale, which was for my farm operation, it was moved totally from this, and so we have moved that away.
That's not something that you resell to the public?
No. It was not. It was for me. And that's why it was used up on my operation.
And I'd also like to add to that I'm not sure what the pictures were taken, but if they're taken early in the spring, well, that's when we have our largest stockpile. And if you would go there now, the pile has dwindled to, a third of what it was during the springtime. So our pile is very, very small right now.
Because I would suspect springtime is your busiest time for mulch,
right,
anyhow. And would you characterize your operation as more of recycling rather than dumping of from the landscapers?
It's 100% recycling. I'm not sure where these tree companies used to take the wood product, but we're using an environmentally friendly system to resell a environmentally friendly product.
And on that, Bob Lawson, on that we Clifford alluded to, we can't even take something that's 12 inches long into this grinder that regrinds it. It's got to be a small chip, and so that's why it's not a big piece of equipment.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. Anyone else while we have them here?
One quick question. Would you consider any type of fire suppression on site that you could have?
We do have that. We have a 2-inch water line that is in, well, it runs the dire grinder. So we have access to every bit of the area out there with a 2-inch water line.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? All right, gentlemen. We thank you. All right, then. There being no further questions on the commission, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision this evening, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.